AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Hunter. Hunter, do we have plans for this weekend?
Yes.
Well, not us, but...
Bike marathon.
Where is that and when does that start?
It's on Sunday morning early. Okay. It starts at Snelling in the Mississippi River, and it's 48 miles.
So a nice uphill to begin with.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, you're not going up Snelling at the river there, are you? Because that's a hill. That is
It goes across along the river.
Well, you're going to go 7th Street, really, basically. Isn't that kind of 7th Street goes up into downtown St. Paul?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, because if you're going uphill, that's cruel. It's always like the Twin Cities Marathon when they do that. I've always said, okay, who is the brain trust at mile 16 you start the slow, gradual 3-mile uphill? Nice thinking, guys. Is there any really bad uphills on that? I mean,
That's what I've been told, that not really. I don't know for myself, but I'm hoping that's true because hills are the worst part.
How many miles do you have to go?
48.
48, all of them uphill. Somehow they managed to make that happen. You're never going downhill once in St. Paul. Well, good luck.
I'm excited.
What day do you next work with us here?
Thursday.
All right. You got plenty of time to ice up the old legs afterwards, all right? Good for you. I hope you have a good time on that. I hope the weather plays nice for you out there.
It's supposed to be really nice.
Oh, it's a fantastic time of year, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had the windows open last night.
Yeah, perfect for this.
Fantastic. I'm back into school, so now I got sports all weekend long. Got kids sports and stuff like that. I will say there's one story that I saw that it makes me happy so far. It's that someone has bought the old Suburban World Theater down in Uptown.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And they're going to remodel it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, this is something that it's a little bit of family history for me, because my mom and my grandmother on my mother's side all have spent a lot of time in Minneapolis. And when I talk to my kids, I mean, you can kind of see the growth of the city by when you talk to, you know, whichever generation you talk to. For me, I talk to my kids and I say, well, let's go out to Eden Prairie. You see Eden Prairie? When I was a kid, the only three things in Eden – well, there was Lion's Tap was in Eden Prairie. The Flying Cloud Airport was in Eden Prairie. The Flying Cloud Drive-In, which was a great drive-in theater, that was right across the street from the airport. And then the Eden Prairie Mall, which was the most amazing mall ever. What happens if you build a mall without any population? I mean, you just might as well build the thing in a field out north of St. Bonnie's or something like that, because no one was in that mall. And as a matter of fact, Mallrats, the movie Mallrats, Kevin Smith's movie. They filmed it there, and Kevin Smith was always like, I can't believe I don't have to stop people because this is actually a functioning mall.
I didn't know that.
There was no one in that mall. So I remember Eden Prairie, so that was kind of the line, which blows my mind because I drove out to New Ulm this summer for a kids' baseball tournament, do some help in some campaigns, and I went to Cologne. It's basically built up out to Cologne. I mean, Cologne was the first town I felt like I was out of the metro. But Carver now, that's part of the Twin Cities now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, all the, Shakopee, Chaska, Chanhassen, that's all part of the metro now. It's amazing how big it is. My mom remembers when it was the crosstown. And she said that was the main strip, east-west strip on the south side. And that south of that was pretty much still farms for the most part. And rural community. So that Richfield, I mean, even though Richfield had been developed, there were still some wide open areas of Richfield. Not so many farms, but just kind of open areas waiting for development. Bloomington was a lot of farms back then. I mean, that was the case. You remember when they were building 494 and there was all the roads on the south side of 494 in Bloomington were dirt.
Oh, wow.
So they're all dirt roads on the south side. My grandmother told me, and this is years and years ago, she goes, I remember when the city ended at Uptown and you went to the Suburban World Theater, and next to the Suburban World Theater were cows. And I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, it was all farms south of the Suburban World Theater. And that's why it's called Suburban World. It was built out in the suburbs at that point, which was Uptown. And there was nothing from that point really down to past the lakes and everything down towards Bloomington, Richfield. I mean, those towns were really at that point separated from the metro. And so it was, it's nice to see that theater get saved.
Yeah, definitely. That's exciting.
Did you ever go? Do you remember when? Well, maybe you're too young for this. For a while there, they were airing classic movies in there, and that was so much fun. You could go see, you know, they would have, you know the classics, Wizard of Oz, and you know stuff like that. They would be showing that at that theater, and it was so much fun to be able to go down there and see those movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like it's going to be more of a music venue.
Is it?
Yeah, music.
I thought it was going to be kind of a theater, though.
Well, theater music. I mean, you got a stage there.
Yeah.
I believe you do. Well, I'm glad they're saving it. Good for you. We need that in Uptown. We need that, you know. We support the arts here. Go, team, go. And I like the – where was it in the MinnPost they're talking about? Thank God it's not like a Foot Locker. it is good that we are recycling a little bit of our history. Ugly story of the day. 19-year-old man charged Friday for allegedly abusing an Arby's in Brooklyn Center. Actually, altering the Brooklyn Center Arby's sign to include racial and sexual slurs, prompting the company to apologize after photos made the rounds on social media. Yucindy Christopher Colling Harper of Minneapolis is charged with gross misdemeanor criminal defamation, along with disorderly conduct and public nuisance, both misdemeanors, in connection to the September 1st incident at the fast food restaurant 5400 block of Brooklyn Boulevard. According to charges, a Brooklyn Center police officer was flagged down by a passing driver who pointed out the advertising sign. It tells you what kind of a deadened society we drive in. How many people drove past that Arby's with those words on it? And Arby's turn. Didn't even care. Someone did see it and did get the police on this. The sign had been changed. It was altered. Now reading bad word, bad word. The restaurant employees, the officer did remove the message, by the way, returned to the restaurants once it reopened. The manager said the last employees left at 12:15. A detective reviewed Facebook. Now, okay, once again, let's remind people there's the real world, which is everywhere. You don't think the online world is the real world, but trust me, criminal geniuses, it's pretty simple. That, like, when that one kid down in, was it Hastings, admitted to drinking and driving. They're on trial for, I think it was manslaughter, vehicular manslaughter because of drinking and driving, something like that. I can't remember the whole details. And he admits it online because apparently that's a mystical world you don't ever get held accountable for, which he quickly had to change his plea from not guilty to guilty because he admitted it. What happened here is apparently they went back to Facebook. The first person to post a picture on the altered sign was Chris Harper at 3:31 a.m. The photo was accompanied with the caption, "Seems like Arby's is hiring in Brooklyn Center," or BC. The detective spoke with Harper's girlfriend, who admitted that he told her he had altered the sign because he thought it was funny. Boy, oh boy, racial slurs and sexual slurs. Not funny. No. Changing it to something like, "Sweet Jesus, are you sure you want to eat Arby's?" That would have been good. We don't even eat. We could have our own contest here of what you would change the sign of an outside of an Arby's to. Oh, trust me, we could have a hoot with that. But racial and sexual slurs, not funny. He admitted taking a picture of the sign, posting it to Facebook. According to charges, the photos caused outrage, which affected the business. The manager at Arby's said they had to unplug their phones during business hours because people have been calling to yell at, harass, and threaten the employees. Others had gone through the drive-thru and yelled at employees before through the intercom. The manager informed the detective that she and the employees were also offended by the sign, but because people attribute the message to them, they were stressed out and afraid to come to work. The business has also suffered a considerable loss of revenue since the sign was altered. So, I can tell you something, Mr. Colling Harper. Chris, you're not going to do too well here. And you better hope and pray you don't have a pretty serious lawsuit against you for, So, there you go. I mean, what could you put on Arby's? Is it meat? Question mark. I think you could put that.
Should just say closed.
No, you don't want to put closed. You have an opportunity, Hunter. You've got to go.
I worked at Arby's. So this is what – I do feel bad for those employees because working at Arby's is already miserable – but then you have people yelling at you at something you had nothing to do with. It sounds horrible to me.
Horsey sauce made with actual horses.
That's good.
Where's the Arby's at again? No, I can't do that. No, do not do anything to the Arby's in Brooklyn Center. It's they've had a too much of a trouble up there as it is. And like I said, this guy, I can't see how the Arby's Corporation and you know, justifiably is going to take him to court. And he's probably going to end up, you know, regretting this decision pretty dramatically. 952-946-6205. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. Come on back. I got a lot of things to get to, including, you know, how about we get into Karen Housley's latest ad? We'll talk about that, which is pretty funny. Plus, Barack Obama is back to save America, and we'll talk about that as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, elder care challenges in rural Minnesota. After 15 years, Judy Garland's Ruby Slippers return home from a long, strange trip, and a preview of the Vikings as football season kicks off. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thank you very much to Todd Kolod, who has been sponsoring us this week here at AM 950. Very grateful for him. He's been a great supporter of AM 950 for many, many years. Lives in Spain now, the lucky dog. It's fantastic over there. I'm sure he's having a lovely evening in the Spanish countryside with that wine and food. Delicious. Needless to say, he wishes, actually, he could support the station. Well, we do appreciate that. Well, what he does is he sponsors the station. You can, too. All you have to do is find out more information, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. His band is Just Folk. They are putting out a new album. They're working on it, hopefully having it out here by mid-October. They currently have two songs you can find on YouTube, Coma Tonight and Protest to Survive. We've got the links up on social media. You can find those. I'll put those back up again as well later on this evening. And thank you very much once again, Todd. 952-946-8885 if you'd like more information about that. To call into the show today, 952-946-6205. Karen Housley, if you've not heard her, and I thought people had heard her voice. She is a Michelle Meow Michelle Bachman. She talks like this. It's You know, it's interesting. I saw a story that said, "Is Karen Housley the next best? Is the best chance for the GOP in Minnesota?" So, well, considering Jim Newberg is the other side of that ticket, yeah, I'd say that she is. I mean, the racist representative from Becker or Karen Housley? All right, at least Karen Housley, to my knowledge, at least hasn't made any racial comments inside the Capitol. So, but she does have a new ad out. And now I'm not going to play the ad, even though I want to, because I'm not going to give her the airtime. I'm not going to do that. That'd be a free ad. But I do encourage you to go check it out. First of all, there's this annoying, you know, what the? Yeah. It will clear out your ears, FYI. But of course, she is. Where is this ad that she's going to appeal to Minnesotans filmed at? A hockey rink. Ooh, where she talks about being a hockey mom. Because that's apparently hockey mom has prepped you. The hell with you, soccer dad. Hockey mom is all you have to be. You just wish you were hockey mom, soccer dad, or basketball mom. Or football grandma. But apparently in her world, once again, you learn everything by being a hockey mom. First of all, you know, if you're using this as a template of appeal, let's just be honest, because most kids today cannot afford to play hockey. I mean, really, hockey is an insanely expensive sport. And so when you use the term hockey mom, you're talking about – you've already narrowed down your appeal audience to really a handful of suburban areas and outstate areas where they might have a rink where the kids can play and practice, but they still get destroyed by the private schools and the wealthy white suburbs in hockey tournaments. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, a lot of schools don't even have hockey teams anymore, and fewer kids are participating because it's godly expensive. So if this is the demo you think is going to appeal to, you know, the bread and butter, I mean, it's iconic, I guess, to a point, but, you know, it's not like it's 1985 and you're in a Edina and you can bring Will Eichel on out and do an ad. You know, it's... You know, you have to have $20,000 a year dedicated. You can dedicate to a child's sport just to play hockey. I mean, it's nuts. So, you know, there's. I think to a point, the question is, are we getting to a point where doing the hockey mom, hockey family? I mean, we're not talking about shooting up on a rink or something like that, or you know, just you know, doing some boot hockey in the local park. We're talking about, you know, the hockey leagues. I don't know how much of appeal that has. How many bread and butter people can afford, especially when people are trying to afford health care. You know, their kids stopped playing hockey 6 years ago. So I don't know. The best part of the entire ad though is that Karen has invited her husband along, NHL great Phil Housley, who is there at one point. If I'm not mistaken, Hunter, you've seen the ad too, correct?
Yes.
Am I mistaken, or does Phil Housley miss a wide open net from like 5 feet?
I gotta look at that again.
He misses a net from like 5 feet out, bounces off the pipe. Well done, Phil. Wonder why you're not playing anymore. But the best part is, at the end of the ad, for some reason, here comes Phil Housley up at the end of the ad. In just to skate up next to his wife, and he sits and smiles. Some guy who's been, you know, sweaty, been on the rink for a while. The only thing missing is if he smiled and had like 6 teeth missing. That would be, I probably would not even be here right now. I'd still be doubled over on the floor in my house laughing. But if they would have ended it like that, that would have been comic gold. Comic gold. Oh, yeah. He does miss the shot. You see, are you watching it now?
I'm trying to pull it up.
All right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Phil Housley seems to miss a 5 foot away open net. and you played in the NHL, I could hit that shot. I'm not good. I am really, really, really not good. But that's your best. Hey, GOP, that's your best bet. There you go. Good luck for that come November, because hockey. Yeah. 952-946-6205. 952-946. That puck bounces off the pipe, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. He is right next to the net, too.
How'd you miss that, Phil? Dear God, man. Get off the ice. Are you okay? Are you medically cleared to be out there? Oh, God, I'm going to enjoy the next 2 months. You guys are going to put the ball on the tee. I'm going to swing away. I'm just going to let you know. I also did want to make sure I reiterate what happened at the end of the show yesterday. Yesterday, we heard the federal government has, and through the National Forestry Service, that basically they're going to allow this sulfur mine in northern Minnesota. And we have to fight this now. And we really do. I mean, the federal government's saying it's going to go through. One thing we have control over here in the state is environmental laws. And I've said this numerous times. I'm not against this kind of mining, as long as the company that's responsible for the mine is responsible as well for the cleanup of said mine. That means any toxic sludge, any sulfur runoff, any of that stuff, any lake that gets poisoned, they have to clean it up. Any piece of land, they have to clean it up. And if they're willing to do that, I think we can have a discussion about this, because it should not be an either or. We're either for the clean environment or we're for a mine. But regardless, there are three points about this which I find to be incredibly upsetting. And I said this yesterday, and I want to make sure I repeat this again today. First of all, this is not a mom and pop mining operation. These are international conglomerates out of China, Brazil, Canada, Russia, Europe. This is not – I mean, they might have a local office and polish off some you know, white boy from the north to basically be their spokesperson in front of the cameras. The reality is they have no intent on leaving Minnesota unscathed. Their entire – operation is built on one premise: rip up the earth, take what they want, and leave. That's everything. That is who these people are. They don't care. They're not living here. They live in Canada, and they live in Brazil, they live in China, they live in Russia, they live in Europe. They don't care. Minnesota, where is that? It's just they look at it similarly. They look at it and just say, those fools in Minnesota don't realize what they're on top of. And so they basically, we need to go out there and free the minerals. And if we have to do that by leaving toxic sludge behind, they'll do it. The second point is this, is that the reason why this mine is going through, because as I said, if you made these mines clean up after themselves, And included the international company, so that if Brazilian mining or Canadian mining or China mining, if they came in here and they did the mine, that the parent company, the international company, is responsible for the cleanup. They wouldn't do the mine. So what they do is they have been paying off the Republican Party to put forward bills to weaken the environmental laws. And the most obnoxious one was the Oopsie Law from a few years ago, where the Republicans passed a bill that said you can pollute the living daylights out of northern Minnesota, but if you say oopsie, well, then you're not responsible for cleaning it up. The taxpayers of Minnesota are. Because if the corporation just says oopsie, I mean, isn't that good enough? I mean, if they admit that they made the mistake, I think that they have been punished enough at that point. I don't think we need to do anything more. That's the logic of the Republicans. They tried to get the water quality standards removed. Governor Dayton once again stopped that. We need the oopsie law overturned, and once again, you just say, hey, you want to mine? Fine. You are responsible, and your parent company, the International Mining Conglomerate, is responsible for every cleanup, every dime, every cent. You know what will happen next? They'll say thanks, but no thanks, and they'll leave. So if you're a Minnesotan and you care about our natural heritage here, and you care about the boundary waters, and you care about northern Minnesota, this isn't a tough call. Third point. This is 300 mining jobs. What idiot thinks 300 mining jobs is far more important than the tens of thousands of tourism jobs in northern Minnesota? Every resort, every hotel, every restaurant up there, every guide, every bait shop, all the parks, all of them are in jeopardy because of this mine. Every single one of them is in jeopardy because of this mine. Only a complete moron or a Republican thinks 300 jobs is more important than tens of thousands of jobs. You cannot allow this to go through. We have to fight this. And I understand, once again, Iron Range guys, all you Democrats up there, I get it. You love mining. But I think we can all put down the standard that there's smart mining and then there's dumb mining. This is dumb mining. And I say, well, 300 jobs is 300 jobs. Yeah, tens of thousands of jobs are tens of thousands of jobs. I want you to go to your favorite lake right now and ask yourself if you could never fish that lake. If they put that mine in there, you might not ever be able to fish that lake again. Is that worth it? If it's your cabin that's up there, ask, is it worth losing that? 300 mining jobs. Is it really worth it? If this mine goes through, and we have the inevitable poisoning that happens, we have to ask ourselves, how in the hell did a few billionaires who pull the strings of the Republican Party and a handful of Democrats allow this to happen? And I'm looking at all the federal Democrats too. Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith, all the House members. This should be stopped. What are we doing here? Come on. How stupid could we be? This needs to be stopped. And like I said, hey, we'll allow the mine, but your international mining conglomerate owners and investors are going to be responsible for any cleanup that needs to happen. Like I said, by the end of the day, before you even wrote that down, before the ink was dry, the international mining conglomerates would have run away. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Kim, David, your phone call as well when I do return. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years' experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
With school back in session, thank goodness I have my Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Seriously, I could not manage my schedule without it. Music lessons, sports practices, school activities, the Sienna is perfect for getting the kiddos to class, hauling instruments and school projects around, or when it's my day to be the team carpool. My Toyota is roomy, comfortable, and has all the safety features I demand for my family. See how a Toyota Sienna can help you tackle your back-to-school schedule. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus.
Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is a good time this weekend to head on out to a restaurant. Why not? EatLocalMinnesota.com. Great local restaurants, many of them locally owned. You get a great local meal, and the money stays local. It is EatLocalMinnesota.com. Check it out. We're featuring all the restaurants this week because, of course, the shortened Labor Day week. You'll find a great one nearby your house. Go try them today. EatLocalMinnesota.com. Full phone lines. Kim, David, Chris. Let's go to Kim first. Kim is in Ramsey, 952-946-6205. Welcome on in, Kim, and thanks for holding.
Yeah, hi. Question for you. Somewhere I heard, and I'm wondering if it was on your show earlier, that there are newspaper ads in Oklahoma and other regions of the country advertising for workers to come up to northern Minnesota and do these jobs that everybody is so hopeful for. And, of course, these would be non-union jobs.
I mentioned this to
one of the environmental organizations, and they wanted some verification. So I'm trying to track this down.
Well, I didn't say there were ads down there. What I'd heard, and thanks, Kim, I appreciate the phone call. What I had heard is that the mining companies have already applied for waivers on hiring practices so that basically they could bus up workers from, say, in Oklahoma. I'm not saying specifically in Oklahoma. But the way that these waivers work is that you can basically say, well, we're going to fund these jobs. We need a waiver so we can hire people out of the market. And this is how when there was a few stories out about companies, building companies that were trying to avoid paying the prevailing wage laws to build buildings. And I think was it a Hunter? I don't know if you remember. Was it a Fleet Farm or a Menards they were trying to build? This is out Alexandria or something like that. And there was a prevailing wage law ordinance there that they were trying to pass. And so what they do is they get a waiver on that, and they basically allow them to bring in non-union workers to work for minimum wage at the mine. And there, from what I'd heard, that there was already some waivers that had been applied for. Now, where those workers come from, I don't know. As far as any specific ads in Oklahoma, I'm not sure. But they could pull in people from Oklahoma, pay the minimum wage. There is no guarantees. I mean, we've talked to Molly Beck over in Wisconsin a few times about Foxconn. They promised all these jobs. They're already pulling back on that. There's no guarantee that these jobs are going to exist and whether or not they're going to be good paying jobs, whether they're going to be good paying jobs for Minnesotans. The way these companies work is they bring in dirt cheap labor. They use the most reckless practices. They annihilate the earth. They rip out what they want, and they leave a toxic mess behind. That's what they do, and they've done it everywhere they've gone. So you might want to say to yourself, it's going to be 300 union jobs. Which, once again, whoever thinks 300 union mining jobs is more valuable than tens of thousands of tourism jobs, I don't know. I'm for good union labor, but those numbers don't add up. And if you're looking at annihilating the tourism industry of northern Minnesota because of a bad mine, 300 is far less than tens of thousands. But the reality is there's no guarantee there are even going to be union jobs. You can hope. But take a look at what these mining groups have done in other places, and it's pretty damn ugly. David is in San Francisco, wanted to chime on in. Welcome on in, David.
Oh, hey, Matt. Yeah, I'm glad you're laying it out. By the way, is this, you had the Wasabi Iron Range. What kind of mine is this?
Masabi, not the wasabi. Wasabi is a delicious condiment that you have with a certain
green
cuisine.
Hot stuff.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. This is one of those. They're trying to get mercury nickel and copper out of the ground. So they're using the sulfur technique, which basically leaves sulfur dioxide, which basically is 500 years of toxic pollution.
Yeah, no kidding. In fact, you know where Coors beer is made, Golden, Colorado, they apparently just upriver from it. You remember Coors beer always advertises they have that sky blue waters of Colorado or clear water of Colorado. Just upstream is where they used to dig up gold about 150 years ago, And they have so much mercury and arsenic up in there, it's unbelievable. I'm surprised that Coors got away with it in their advertising for so long.
Oh, I think so, you can taste the difference in Coors.
Yeah, non-union beer. Besides. Hey, what I was going to raise with this, you know what a performance bond is?
Well, I'll tell you what, David, I got full phone lines here. Just a really quick thank you, David. I appreciate it. We're going to beat your San Francisco 49ers on Sunday here in Minnesota. We'll touch on that another day here. Let's go to Chris in St. Paul. He wanted to chime in on the water issue as well. Welcome on in, Chris.
Hi, Matt.
Hey.
I just wanted to make a point the Mississippi starts in Minnesota, and it runs through other states. It doesn't stop in Minnesota. And so in Minneapolis and St. Paul, they get a lot of their water from the Mississippi. So you're going to start, toxifying all the groundwater up in northern Minnesota. I mean, that could lead to larger problems down the river.
Well, Chris, and thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. Here's what I'll say is the Mississippi to my knowledge, is not part of the problem. You go over the Laurentian Divide to get into the northern part of Minnesota. The Laurentian Divide is basically waters on the north of that basically flow northwards. Or else they flow towards Lake Superior. They're not necessarily part of the Mississippi River, but I mean, let's face it, Mississippi River's got a lot of pollution issues as it is. Have you ever flown over? If you fly over the Mississippi River in the south, it looks like Augustus Gloop should be trying to get a drink out of it. Ugh. Ah. By the time you get down towards like Mississippi and Louisiana, it's yellow brown. Ugh. Pollution is everywhere, and we should be doing more to stop it. That being said, we're talking about some of the last pristine wilderness in Minnesota. And it's unfortunately, a lot of it's been lumbered out. So it's not, I guess you can't call it original, but it is northern Minnesota lakes, the Boundary Water Canoes area, the Voyageurs National Park, Lake Superior, the Arrowhead region. These are areas which are pristine, and the people that live up there love these areas. And once again, just look at the track record of these international mining conglomerates. No one would be going along with this if you actually pay attention to what these people do, it would drive you nuts. As a matter of fact, when I was down in Tennessee, when I was driving back up north, we stopped by Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Lookout Mountain, it kind of comes to this point. And so if you look up to the north and east, you see Chattanooga and there's the Tennessee River there. But if you look off to the west, there is this massive strip mine that's out there, which is a real eyesore. And they are just annihilating the land that's out there. As a matter of fact, I'll try to post a picture of it. I think I took a picture of this. You will see this. It has annihilated this mountain that's out there. You can't look at that and say, oh, that's good for everyone. No, of course not. And if you look at the Tennessee River, it's running brown down there too. This is just a bad idea all around. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
Good afternoon, Matt. Good to talk to you. Hey, these chicken and pork factories all over the Midwest and the meat packing plants, remember the Albert Lee Austin, we had strong unions back in the old days?
Yes.
Well, they broke the unions, and then not illegal immigrants, it's illegal employers. They went down to Mexico and those places, come up here, we'll give you a job, and they broke the jobs down, and they pollute, and they pay terrible wages, and when they want to organize, they deport them, and then they when they don't pay their wages, they're supposed to pay wage theft.
Well, and thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. This is something – what Gary is bringing up is exactly what the case is. There have been tons of jobs that you used to get paid pretty well for. And one of the business models was, you just start paying them less. If you can find people who are desperate enough to where minimum wage is a good job, you don't have to pay for benefits or anything like that. You just have to, get them desperate enough. And that's been the modus operandi. These international mining companies, they're working in countries where, trust me, if they could get away with not paying the minimum wage, they would. But, it's these I think that people that are convinced themselves that these are going to be 300 good paying union jobs are fooling themselves. You are completely ignoring the history of these mining companies and these mines. They're not going to I highly doubt that what they're promising is ever going to come to fruition. What I can guarantee you is that it's probably going to annihilate most of the Northland, the northern area, the northeastern part of the state. And that's just because that's what they do. This is not me out on some limb here. This is what they do. Randy is in St. Cloud. Let's head up and talk to Randy. Hey, Randy.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. I'm just always curious. I never, ever hear the figures when people talk about this mining crap. How much does the mining company pay to, one, the state of Minnesota, and if it's federal forest, to the government, how much do they pay to lease the land, and do we get any percentage of what they take out of the ground? You never hear that.
Well, first of all, Randy, when it comes down to what you get from them, and as far as the federal government or in the state of Minnesota, what you get from, say, the Republicans, they're getting campaign donations. That's what they're getting. They're getting campaign donations, and so there's not too much of a benefit there. What you generally do see is a token donation or tax that's put into place, where they say, we're putting money in for good schools or clean water, and they'll have some kid sitting there with a brand new notebook or some guy out there fishing, and they'll act like, aren't we responsible? The reality is there's, you know, like I said, If all you have to do, tell them we'll let you build your mine, but your parent company, your international mining conglomerate, is going to be personally responsible for all cleanup of said mine. That not one taxpayer dollar is going to go for it, that you will clean up your mess, that when you leave, there won't be any toxic sludge, there won't be any pit that is going to have to sit there for 500 years, all of it gets shipped out of here. My gut feeling is they'll stop asking to build these mines tomorrow. Sue is in Minneapolis. She wanted to chime on in. Welcome on in, Sue.
I just wanted to say there's no such thing as clean mining. That's like saying there's clean coal, which there just is not. Once they move in, they destroy. And adding some kind of rider to the legislation that they'll include cleanup, that's nonsense because they'll already have destroyed it. So to put that out there that there is clean mining, that's not correct.
Sue, my point is, Sue, with this is that they know that too. So that if you put that in there, they won't even build a mine. You see where I'm going with that? The point is that if you put that rider in there, they're not going to build it because they know they can't do it. Ta-da! You see, I'm not so stupid. Well, I mean, that's... Okay, a little bit. All right, but no, that's the whole point of what I'm saying. If you're saying that they're going to bite on the chomp on the hook there, they're not going to. They already know that. We're calling their bluff here. They know they can't do this environmentally safe. They have no intention of doing it environmentally safe. So if you said, "Well, we'll let you do it, but you have to do it environmentally safe," they'll say thanks, but no thanks. They'll head somewhere else. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Marvin, Mike, hold on. We'll get your calls after the break. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Your adventures begin at Seaver's Fall Festival. Open every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through October 28th next to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. It's fun for the entire family. For more information and to buy tickets online, visit SeaversFallFestival.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Join over 300,000 Minnesota families by choosing Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialists. Our customers have helped us be very good at selling, installing, and servicing appliances. We work hard to earn your business. Choose Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, progressive voice in Minnesota. I do want to try to get to Obama's smackdown. And by the way, don't trust Trump at all. This is killing him. This speech at the University of Illinois by Obama today is killing Trump. It absolutely is. It's not a good week for the man, is it? Hey, Marvin is in Minneapolis. We wanted to chime in on mining. Welcome on in, Marvin.
Hey, Matt. I'm from northern Wisconsin, and they're doing the same thing in northern Wisconsin they're doing in the Iron Range of Minnesota. There's companies up there exploring, oh, we can come in and do copper and nickel mining. Oh, it's so environmentally friendly. I said, and I was up there about 2 years ago when they started talking about this, and I have brothers that still live up there, and they hunt and they fish. I said, no, you're in favor of this, right? Yep, yep. I said, what happens when these mines close and a pipe of copper just drops through the ceiling, drops through the floors? And they close up the mines, and they leave all the sludge and everything else. I says, what in the hell is going to happen to your hunting and fishing? They, oh, I never thought about that. I said, well, think about that. And all of a sudden, they start changing their tune.
Well, and it was, and Marvin, I appreciate the phone call. Governor Dayton did his due diligence. He toured around the country to see some of these mining sites. And he went to one in Michigan. I think he went to the one in Montana, one in Colorado. I think he might have gone to one in Nebraska too, and he came back and said, "No, we can't. We can't put this forward. We can't do this. This is nuts. This is destroy the land and the water." And so, you know, it's not that this is just a hunch. I mean, we've got the historical record of what they have done, for goodness sakes. And yeah, we can't put this through. Mike is in Columbia Heights. Welcome on in, Mike.
Hi, Matt.
Yep.
Yeah, back in 74, 75, I worked on the reserve mining project. They were dumping tons and tons of asbestos tailings into Lake Superior, and we sampled the water. They settled with them. They gave them a dump site someplace else along the off the lake. Well, about 5 or 6 years after that, they did a health study, and the colon cancer and the lung cancer, the probabilities were 41% greater in that part of the United States over anywhere else in the United States. It was about 41%, as I remember. But I have not heard any of the press bringing this up. I don't know the exact dates, but I know that it happened and that they came up with these unbelievable figures of the increased colon cancer and lung cancer on the North Shore. And it's, you know, mesothelioma. It was definitely attributed to dumping the asbestos into the lake.
Well,
nobody talks about the health hazards.
Mike, am I crazier? Didn't they actually say you shouldn't eat fish out of Lake Superior for a while? Wasn't that during that
right.
time? Yeah.
Right. So all the asbestos settled to the bottom of the lake.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the phone call. No, that's what happens. Okay. Corporations, executives that run corporations, do not care about you. They don't. Right now, and I am dead serious when I say this, if a mining company felt as if killing me would raise their share price 1 cent on the dollar, I wouldn't make it out of the studio. I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. They don't care. That is who these people are. They care about making profit. That's their job. You are ants on a hot summer day trying to come into their picnic basket. And they'll swat you away, and they do not care. The environmental hazards are there. The employment hazards are there. And once again, I understand mining people like mining jobs, but what fool looks at 300 mining jobs versus tens of thousands of tourism jobs? Let alone your own personal favorite lake, favorite hiking path, snowmobile trail. You would think something like that would start registering. Maybe this is not the best idea. And once again, there's no guarantee that these jobs are going to materialize, or let alone be good paying jobs given to Minnesotans. All in all, I think this is a horrific idea, and this is why this next election matters. This next election matters huge because, frankly, the next governor is going to decide whether or not we decide we're going to destroy northern Minnesota's pristine wilderness. And to the caller who said, don't make it sound like that there is clean mining, I understand that. I get what you're going. There isn't. That's why if you say you have to clean your mess up, they're going to say, no, it's too expensive. We're not going to do it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. President Obama showed up. Oh, he was in grand form. Had a little speech over in Bloomington, University of Illinois. Some of the quotes that he's had have been pretty good here. Demagogues promise simple fixes to complex promises, Obama said. They will promise to fight for even the little guy, even as they cater to the wealthiest and most powerful. They will promise to clean up corruption and then plunder away. The claim that everything will turn out okay because there are a few people inside the White House who secretly are not following the president's orders, that is not a check. I'm being serious here. That's not how our democracy is supposed to work. These people aren't elected. They're not accountable. They're not doing us a service by actively promoting 90% of the crazy stuff that's coming out of this White House and then saying, don't worry, I'm preventing 10%. That's not how we're supposed to work. That is not normal. It should not be Democrat or Republican. It should not be a partisan issue to say we should not use the Attorney General or the Justice Department as a cudgel to punish our political opponents. We are Americans. We're supposed to stand up to bullies, not follow them. We're supposed to stand up to discrimination, and we're sure as heck supposed to stand up clearly and unequivocally to Nazi sympathizers. How hard can that be, saying Nazis are bad? Oh, it was a good speech. Trump has come on out and insisted, oh, it was nothing. Trump, trust me, Trump is livid. Livid. Right now about this. If you want something enjoyable to end your weekend, I want you to go pull up some of the videos of the crowd from last night's Montana rally that he did. The one guy who's standing behind him, who's basically giving the facial expressions, the guy they replaced, that was hilarious. They replaced him. It's known that Trump basically hires people to stand behind Trump, especially any minorities, because the only people that show up for these rallies are white people. So they pay people to stand behind him. Apparently this guy wasn't smiling enough. So here comes this brunette woman in, boots him out of the way, and she stands there. Then some couple who do look like Trump supporters, they get bounced for two blonde women who are sitting there smiling. But once again, as we get ready for the football this weekend, you remember how they care about America and you have to respect America and the troops? Don't disrespect the flag. Standing behind him at this rally is a girl who's not only wearing the United States flag as a cape, she uses the United States flag to wipe her nose. Hey, unbelievable. Doug's up next. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the calls. Good show. We'll talk to you on Monday. Till then, see you.